this is stuff that people have been asking about for years to be able to do.
Yeah.
Suddenly, just in this one update, we now have methods of accomplishing this, which is just really, really good to see.
Hello, hello, everyone. I'm Gears.
And I'm Mox Valix. And welcome to the Data Pack Podcast, episode 2.
Yes. Yeah, this is episode 2. We made another episode, which is, I don't know, what percentage of podcasts which make a first episode and make a second episode? Probably quite a high number, because you're probably at least committed for 2 episodes, right? But
surely.
But maybe not for 10.
Ooh.
Like, if we make it to 10 episodes, that's probably an achievement, right?
Yeah, definitely. Say. 10 episodes is like, that's when you make it as a podcast.
Okay, well, we're 20% of the way there, so...
Let's go.
Yeah. Thanks for watching, and I guess we better start recording episode 3. No. Okay, so today we are talking about an update that recently came out to Minecraft. A mine update, or, well, so it's called 1.20.5.
Yeah.
And yeah, well, I mean, last episode we were talking about technical data packs, and I think we'll definitely sort of continue to talk about this. Okay, well, Discord just crashed, but hopefully that won't happen again. Anyway, as I was saying, so last time we were talking about technical data packs, and we're going to continue, I think, probably to talk about this update from like the perspective of technical data packers, because that's what we are.
It's what we know best.
Yeah. And so basically last time we were talking about all of the massive updates to data packing that have been happening in the past, like however many releases since like 1.19.4, I think it was, right? That was when they added started the sequence of updates where they changed a lot of stuff in data packs.
Yeah.
And yeah, 1.20.5 is another one of those sort of minor updates which is providing a lot of content to Minecraft data packs again.
Mm.
Which is pretty cool.
They're really embracing data packs as a way to make content for the game. Like,
yeah.
They data packs always like felt like they were there to accompany a map, right? To be command blocks, but just a little more, right?
Yeah.
And now they're starting to feel much more like almost like mods in a way. Like, obviously not as powerful as mods, and I don't think they're ever gonna be able to do the things that mods can do. But they're starting to give us more control of the game, of Minecraft as like a game engine, which is really great change.
Yeah. I mean, for sure, data packs are never going to be able to do the same things that mods can do, because I think one of the ideas with data packs is that they're much safer than mods, in the sense that data packs are limited by what Mojang lets you do. Even if you can find like workarounds to certain things, you're still limited. Like, you can't access files on someone's computer, which is actually a really good thing, because, you know, mods, you can write a mod which steals files or tries to hack into someone's computer or something like that, right? But with data packs, that's just impossible.
Which is
quite good.
A malicious mod developer could easily add a Discord credential stealer or like something that steals your session cookies from your browser, and then you're hacked, right? Because it has access to your full system, and unless you go and sandbox it yourself, which I'm sure not many Minecrafters are doing.
Most people aren't going to know how to do that, yeah.
No. And so then obviously it's risk. And obviously there's not many, most people aren't out there, you know, doing bad things like that. But with data packs, you just can't. unless you find a really serious exploit like Log4j, which we're not going to explain here, but if you're curious, look it up. There's a big problem that was found in Minecraft and actually impacted the wider internet as a whole. Massive exploit. But unless something like that is found, data packs are pretty much guaranteed to be safe for your computer. Now, not necessarily for your Minecraft world. Data pack can do a lot of things to ruin your day in Minecraft, but not outside of Minecraft.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, so let's get on to the actual update now. I will say that in addition to these data pack changes, which we're going to be talking about, they did also add actual content to the game for non-data pack creators. Like, they added the armadillo, which is interesting because the armadillo was the mob that won this year's mob vote at Minecraft Live, right?
Hmm.
And normally what they do is they put that mob into the major update that's going to release that year. So when the Sniffer won the mob vote, they put it into 1.20. When the Alay won the mob vote, they put it into 1.19. But
yeah,
in this year, they decided to put the armadillo into 1.20.5. So it's actually available without experimental settings in the vanilla game.
Yeah.
Already.
And it's interesting as well. Like, I think don't quote me on this, but I'm pretty sure this is the first patch release to have a name. Like,
yeah, that's true. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't remember exactly who made the comparison, but I think it might've been Phoenix SC video I was watching, but basically he compared it to like 1.15, right? 1.15 did some major technical changes to the game's rendering engine, but added very little content.
Yeah, and it just added like bees and honey, right?
I would almost argue that 1.20.5 added more content than, maybe not, but like Wolf Armor, Armadillo, and all like the... that kind of
all
stuff.
Wolf variants.
Variants, yeah. That's all. They're probably about comparable. And I think.
Yeah, for sure.
I think we might be seeing more of these style of updates coming in the future.
I think Minecraft are sort of trying to almost like redefine what a minor update is for the game, like, and what changes in it. I mean, I don't know. I haven't actually been playing Minecraft for that long. I've only really been consistently playing it since, like, 1.16. But I feel like most of the minor updates since then have mostly just been critical bug fixes or, like, additions to various things that I'm not even sure what. Like, I mean, like, yeah, so there was, like, 1.19.2, right, was adding the chat reporting.
Yep.
And yeah, I don't even remember what most of the things changed in the minor updates, but more recently, like since 1.19.4, it seems like they're adding sort of more content in these updates.
Mm. And I think it's I really like the strategy because it means that it feels like the game's constantly updating. Rather than, it used to very much be like the game basically the update would release, there's all the hype, and then there would be a big gap in content, and then all the update, like all the hype comes again, and it kind of like goes in waves. And I mean, there is something fun about waiting for new content and stuff like that. And I think that's what's really great about this new system is like, and also putting it in experimental data pack, right? We get to see the upcoming content in an unfinished state alongside the new content that's just about to release. So we're getting hyped for the new release as well. We're getting a couple new toys to play with. And I think that's a really, really good strategy they're going with for releases.
Yeah, I think that's definitely good. So anyway, let's get into the first of the technical changes. Because Minecraft releases a change log for every version that they put out, and they include a section on technical changes in the version. So I've sort of copied down those changes, and I have a list here. And would you like to hear what the first one is on my list?
Ooh, yes. What's the
They
first?
renamed the Scoot item to Turtle Scoot,
Oh,
so as not to be confused with the Armadillo Scoot.
that's a very important change, of course.
So I think that's going to majorly impact all data packs going forward, and especially technical data packs. Technical data packs, you might not know this, but they actually take use of Turtle Scoots quite a lot, and this renaming is going to affect them quite heavily, I would say.
This is an impact the size that the data pack community might never recover from this change. This
Yeah,
is
I know.
almost as bad as the time that they renamed grass to short grass.
Oh my God, that was.
Genuinely though, being serious, that was a painful change. We had to
That was
change a lot of
actually quite
stuff.
painful for various data packs because, yeah, it basically made them incompatible with any previous ver or any future versions. Luckily, in that same update, they added pack overlays, so
That's actually
you could
genuinely
have two versions.
a really great feature, which unfortunately is slightly tarnished for me, because you can only put your pack overlays in the root of the directory, meaning that as you add more and more pack overlays, your main folder gets more and more cluttered, and you can't store them in subdirectories, which is such a simple change that they could make, which would make pack overlays just so much better.
Yeah, I agree. As someone who I think shares with you the sort of way of organizing data packs where you like to put everything in subfolders so you don't have too many things in one folder at a time, I think that's definitely would be a very good change, for sure.
I'm someone that very much likes my folder management. Because I learned I used to not do any folder management and I could never find anything.
Yeah, well, speaking of, I don't. The weird thing is, right, I feel like I have quite a lot of experience with Minecraft data packs, and I think I do. But I haven't actually released that many completed packs. If you look on my Planet Minecraft page, it's kind of. There's not that much on it. And I think a lot of the stuff that I've done with data packs has either been sort of weird and experimental and sort of more technical stuff, or I just never finished it. But anyway, basically, I don't usually update my packs for some reason. Since I released my packs, I just have barely touched them. And I think, well, at least some of them just seem to work when the updates, because often they change stuff, but it's more like adding stuff, and it doesn't really break any previous data packs.
Datapacks
So I
kept
sort
good
of,
backwards compatibility for a good while. Like it
until this update,
until
basically.
this update, and we'll get into that probably a little bit later.
But anyway, speaking of folder management and stuff, after this update, I decided, you know what, I'm going to go back through some of my old data packs and I'm going to update them to 1.20.5 so, people can play them in the current version. Because, spoiler alert, most this update breaks 90% of previous data packs. But I was basically going back through them and looking at the code, and it's so different to the way I make data packs now. I feel like Like, I didn't know a lot of the, like, sort of best practices for a lot of things, so I sort of just figured stuff out, and it didn't work out in the best way. Like, I didn't namespace any of my scoreboards, so I just had like right click as one of the scoreboards with no namespace, which is obviously gonna collide often quite heavily with other data packs. And yeah, it was just sort of weird looking back at my old code, and like the folder organization was much less. I mean, I did have some folders, but very few.
I feel like it's something that isn't really like there's a lot of things out on the internet about like how to start making a data pack, right? Like obviously the base folder structure, you know, you make the pack.mc meta and you make your data folder and then you put a Minecraft one in there and then you make one for your own namespace. And then you're shown, you know, how to write a function or two, and then you're kind of sent off on your own. There's not a lot about there's not a lot of resources about like what are best practices for developing data packs? What makes it easiest for you to keep you know, working on your data pack without like running into a bunch of issues?
Or yeah, well, I think the thing is there are some, but I think the problem with some of those resources, and maybe I'm just thinking here because we haven't actually started talking about the update 1.20.5 really. So maybe this should be its own podcast episode separately.
I think that's a good idea, yeah.
So maybe we'll just leave this sort of here for now.
And if you,
And I have some
listener at
thoughts on
home, are
this.
excited about this topic for whatever reason you would be, look forward to that coming up in the future. Make sure to tune in.
Because I think I have quite a lot of thoughts on this subject, but
Definitely.
I think we've already been going for however long we have, and the only change we've mentioned is turtle scutes. So maybe we should
Important changes only.
Okay, so I would say the next thing we can talk about is the new attributes, right? Those were released quite early in the development cycle of 1.20.5. I think they were like the first change of this update.
Might be right there, yeah.
And yeah, well, okay. Let me start us off by saying, I'm going to take us back to the mob vote, right? Minecraft Live 2023. And the three options were the armadillo that won, the crab, and what was it, the penguin?
Yeah.
The
That sounds
penguin's the
about right.
least memorable one, because
I
nobody voted for the penguin.
What did the penguin even do? It like slid around,
Sped
right?
up boats. It sped up boats, right?
Yeah, that's pretty lame.
Anyway, there was the crab, right? And the crab was the feature was announced that the crab was would drop a crab's claw, which increased your the player's reach. And people in the data pack community and the technical Minecraft community sort of theorized that if they added the crab's claw, then we might get the ability with data packs or commands to sort of manipulate that and increase the amount of reach a player has based on an item or something. And they were sort of correct because, well, even though the crab didn't win the mob vote, Minecraft still added the new attribute, which, if you don't know what an attribute is, basically every entity has a set of a attributes by default. So one of them is max health, so the player has 20 health, which is 10 hearts, and every mob in Minecraft has a max health attribute, and then there's like movement speed and jump height and everything. So all of those can be modified using commands, but it's limited to whatever attributes Minecraft decides to add into the game. And now they've added several more. So for example, the player reach, or what they added two actually, block reach, which is how far away you can break and place blocks, and then also entity reach, which is how far away you can hit an entity, or interact with an entity. And yeah, I think that's pretty cool because it allows you to basically remake the crab with data packs.
Yeah. And attributes can be applied to items, which and if the item is equipped or worn or however it's configured, then it applies that attribute to the player. And so you literally can just make the crab claw. Super easy. And I think like I know a lot of people were very disappointed when the crab didn't win, because they saw it as, and that they were less excited about the crab itself. They saw it as they were losing the ability to change the reach, and they're like, "Oh no, we're going to lose that because some stupid other mob." What was the other mob? I've forgotten already. Oh, the
Grandillo.
armadillo. Some stupid armadillo
Having
has
this
won
update,
and
by the
is
way.
given wool farmer, which I mean. Wool Farmer is, I would say, quite entertaining for the general public, but to a data packer, it is less interesting, that's for sure.
But luckily, Mojang, I don't know, I think they have as like I think in the past, I don't know what happened, like, but for some reason or whatever, they are more taking into account like the data packing side of things. So they clearly thought about that, and they were like, you know what? We'll let them add in the crab claw if anyway if they want to.
Yeah, I think, and I like, it almost feels like they were already going to be adding this attribute modifier, and they were like, we'll make one of, like, I almost, my fan theory is that the crab came about because of the modifier rather than the other way around. Like, I think that going forwards we should, if something's being teased in the mob vote, even if that mob doesn't get added, the feature that the feature that it could bring to the technical community might still come. And I think that's something that's good to keep in mind, because the community does get funny around mob votes sometimes. But I think we could probably do. There's another future podcast idea, is the mob votes. I'd like to, I think, discuss that a bit further.
So, I mean, I think, yeah, the main one we've been talking about is this block and an entity interaction range. But I'll just tell you what the other attributes they added, because I have a list here. Step height, so you know how obviously everyone plays with auto jump off, right?
Oh, yeah.
So if you have auto jump off, then you can't just walk up whole block steps up, right? But you can walk up slabs. And so this attribute essentially changes the distance at which you can walk up without jumping. So I think you can set it to an insane like 30 blocks or something if you really want to. So you can have it so that you walk up to a 30 block pillar and suddenly you're standing on top of it.
That's pretty
But
funny.
obviously that's not really something that you do. But you might want to change it to zero so you just can't step up at all, or you might change it to one block for whatever reason. Anyway, that's a thing you can do now. In addition to that, you can also change the gravity. This one's pretty cool. So it's, yeah, basically how fast that entity falls down.
Yeah, it's like slow falling, but with more fine-grained control.
So I think that's something as well that they changed in this. One thing that they sort of aim to do with these new attributes is allow finer control of stuff you could already do with potion effects, right?
Yeah.
And I think that's what most of the attributes do, right? So max health you can technically control using the health boost potion effect, which probably a lot of people don't even know is in the game, because you can't attain it without commands in vanilla.
Yeah, it's a weird one.
But
Oh, actually, does it come from an enchanted golden apple?
no, that's absorption.
Oh.
They're two separate things.
Right, yeah.
There's absorption, which gives you golden hearts, which can't be regenerated. They're like one-time things. And then there's health boost, which actually gives you extra regular hearts.
Right. Yeah, fair enough.
But yeah, so like, and for example, the resistance effect, you can, there is an attribute for that. I don't remember exactly what it is, but it's like armor toughness or whatever. Mm. And so, yeah, they sort of, one thing they did is they, basically, if you didn't know, Minecraft effects until this update could go up to level 255. You know, you can have like, in the vanilla game, you can only ever get up to like 3 or something, but or 2, I think. 2, I think, is the max.
I think there's one that goes up to 4, and I believe that's Potion of the Turtle Master gives you slowness.
Oh, that's true. Turtle Master does give you resistance.
Or is it
4, I think.
Is
yeah.
it resistance
4? It gives you slowness 6 as well, so yeah, you can technically get up to 6 in the vanilla game, but with commands, you can get up all the way up to 255. And due to certain buggy behavior yeah. in previous versions, you could use this to your advantage because you could use this to your advantage because if you gave a player, for example, jump boost 255, they wouldn't be able to jump at all. It would sort of bug out and it would just cancel out the effect. Or if you gave someone mining fatigue 255, you wouldn't be able to punch at all, basically. Yeah, what they did in this update is that they removed that. Initially, all they did was they just removed that ability and they just said, you know what, now you can only go up to 127 and all this buggy behavior is removed. And then there was some backlash from the technical community because it sort of
backwards
removed the ability to do stuff like that, right?
Mm. Also,
so what they did... yeah. But so what they did is they added all of these new... all these new attributes. So yeah, that step height, gravity, then safe fall distance, that's how far you can fall without taking damage. So so for example, by default, you can fall, if you fall from 3 blocks in Minecraft, you take no fall damage, but if you fall from 4, you take half a heart. So you can change how much that safe distance is.
Yeah.
Then there is fall damage multiplier, which is basically just how much extra damage you take per block that you fall. And then there's also jump strength. So before you could only do that with horses, you could modify how high they could jump. But now you can do it with any entity.
Yep.
And then also block breaking speed. So how fast you break blocks.
That's a fun one.
Yeah. So yeah. So they basically replaced a lot of the potion effects, which are sort of somewhat limited in how customizable they are, because you're just limited to the set range of values provided, and then they added attributes for those, which are much more customizable, which is pretty cool.
It's really great, yeah, and like. Like we mentioned before, attributes can be applied to items. Attributes are genuinely a really great system in the game. And
yeah,
adding these things to the attribute system is just a really great change for technical people in the game, so data packers and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, so now, for example, before, what you'd have to do, say you wanted to make boots that make you jump higher, right? Which is, you know, a fairly sort of simple thing. Before, what you'd have to do is you'd have to do a check every tick to see if the player was wearing the boots, and then you have to give them a jump boost effect.
Yeah.
Now you can just apply the attribute modifier jump strength to the boots, and then the game automatically increases their jump height for you, and you don't need to do any other checking like that.
Yeah.
At all.
Super cool. And so I believe there's arguably the most fun attribute that we haven't got around to yet. Are you about to get into that one?
Oh, yeah. Right. Oh, I see. It was right at the top of the page. Basically, the one we started talking about, which was the interaction range, right? That was second on the page, so I just started reading from there. But the first one on the page, and yeah, probably the most fun one that's been sort of used in mods before, right? To sort of recreate this behavior, yeah.
I'll also say that it was already teased to us in last year's April Fool's update.
Oh, that's true, yes. So this one is generic.scale. So it allows you to change the size of entities, basically.
Yeah. So you can make any mob or even the player giant or tiny or pretty much any size that makes them still visible. So you can't go so small that you're completely invisible. It limits down.
Fair enough.
And you also, there is a upwards limit to how big you are. But I think you even get bigger than the old Minecraft giant entity. Which, is that entity still in the game?
It's still in the game. It can only be it's got still using in the game. Commands, but it still exists, yeah.
Wow. That's a... it's cool that entity's still around. For people that don't know about the giant, it's basically a giant zombie, but it has no AI, so it just stands there and does nothing. Like, super big, and, like, obviously was used in a lot of clickbaity thumbnails back when Minecraft didn't have much else to put in there. But it's been, I would say, mostly forgotten. I don't think many people nowadays would really be knowing or using it. But
yeah, I completely forgot about it until you mentioned it just now, really. I mean, I have played around with it a bit in the past, but yeah, honestly, it's one of those things that sort of just, you forget about the fact that it still exists.
Yeah, but it's cool that it's still there. But I mean, you can now make a giant creeper. You can make a giant skeleton. And the cool thing is that they actually function. They have AI because they're just the same mob, but bigger. And obviously when the scale attribute was announced, I got very excited thinking that we would be able to scale... we would be able to scale shulkers, because a shulker has a hitbox that can actually behave like a block. Now, apologies for the Discord noises. It seems like we're having the Discord issues again. Hopefully they don't persist. I'm just going to quickly check them. So if there's a bit of a jump cut again, please excuse us. Yep. Apologies once again. We're back from our Discord issues. So anyway, I was talking about when the scale attribute was first announced, I had ideas about using it with a shulker. And now, as I mentioned before, shulkers have a hitbox that behaves like a block. So you can stand on a shulker and, like, I think, it basically, almost acts as a block. There's a few things, like, you can't place other blocks against it, because it is still an entity. It's kind of like a boat, almost, in a way. But if we could scale that, it would mean that we could have a scalable hitbox that we could change the size of.
Yeah, custom hitbox sizes, yeah.
Which would be really cool. Now, unfortunately, the shulker's size is hard-coded. Unfortunately, the attribute just doesn't work with the shulker.
Yeah.
Which is a little bit of a pity, but it still is a really cool attribute. So I'm not complaining. It's just a little a little bit of a cool thing that maybe one day we'll get is a custom hit, like block hit boxes.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Ooh.
Yeah, okay, so yeah, I think one thing that was interesting is, as you said, this feature was sort of teased in last year's April Fool's snapshot, because yeah, in that snapshot they did have, was it actually an attribute or was it just like a potion effect or something? But they had a way for you to
Had potions. I think it was implemented as an effect, yeah. I think it was like a size effect or something like that. I don't fully remember. But, and because that was, for people that don't remember what the update was or didn't end up playing it, it was the vote update.
Yeah.
So they, basically, every couple of minutes or so, it would open up a poll to everyone online. So obviously if single player, it's just yourself. If it's multiplayer, multiple people can vote. And then the whatever was voted on, that game rule effectively comes into play. So it was pretty cool to play. Obviously, April Fool's update, a lot of silly things were implemented. Maybe not as silly as the potato update, which also came out quite recently. Ridiculous update. Yeah. But what I will say...
They had
say,
a lot of, like...
A lot of very beta pack interesting technical things. Changes, right? Yeah. And the biggest one that I'll note is this. They seem to add a block that allowed you to create actual flying machines. So
yeah,
the whole structure would move along as if it was like an entity, so it's not snapped to the grid. And obviously this is something that mods have played with for a while. Like Create Mod is probably the one that comes to mind there. Of being able to put a contraption into a minecart and move it around. But I'm curious if we will see anything about that maybe in 1.22. I don't know.
Maybe.
Could be.
I'm not sure. The thing is
not very vanilla.
Specific block, yeah, it doesn't really feel like something that would be in Minecraft, right?
But even if it's not in the vanilla game, maybe we'll get something related to that in data packs. Who knows?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, yeah. If we do, that'll be super cool.
Yeah.
Like a block entity. An entity that behaves like a block. That block entities are another thing that we don't need to explain. Basically, chests and stuff are called block entities.
Yeah. Okay, so...
that was scale.
Yeah. Let's see what I have next on my list. Okay, so... Next on my list is... Sorry, I'm just finding... I lost my list when I died, so,
Alright. Hi. For anyone that can't see the video clip, I just activated a shrieker, so I've currently got the darkness effect and things are getting scary.
Oh yeah, so the next thing on my list is data-driven banner patterns and wolf variants.
Yeah.
So I'll let you talk about that because you've actually played around with that more than I have.
Yeah, right. Well, the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to shill the data pack many more banners. It's available on Planet Minecraft and on Modrinth. Just type in many more banners, and you'll soon get a whole lot more banner patterns in your game. End of shilling my data pack aside. Yeah, it's really cool that around the time that they added... I'll start with banner patterns. They... Around the time they were adding new banner patterns for the trial chambers, which are coming up in the next release, I believe they added, like... I don't know. The patterns are, like, related to the breeze, I think, and something else. But yeah, so they clearly decided to upgrade how banner patterns worked in the game at the same time. So, and as with a trend that seems to be coming a lot recently, which is really great, they made them data-driven. So you can create JSON files in your data pack, which are, for anyone that's not aware, those are basically config files. And you can add new patterns into the game, which then, when paired with a resource pack, means you can have some really cool looking banners. And I use that to add, I think we've got 38 patterns now. But yeah, like, it's just really cool that, like, you can modify these things in the game and add new content to the game that you couldn't really accomplish without hacky workarounds before. So yeah, and then we also had wolf variants. So that was a new feature for 1.20.5, is these wolf variants. They added maybe 6 or 7 new wolf types, and they spawn in different biomes. But they also made these data-driven, which means using a similar, like, JSON file to configure them, you can create your own wolf types and have them spawn in different biomes. And yeah, it's super cool. I may have a data pack in the works that adds a couple of cool wolf variants that ironically Wolfian has designed for me. And I believe the pack will end up being released by him. But when it is, I might mention it in a future podcast episode. But yeah, it's really great to see new things becoming data-driven in the game, and Minecraft becoming more of a game engine. But yeah. Okay, so... what happened there, buddy?
I just was tabbed out for a second, looking at my list.
So anyway, Ears has died. I've got his items.
I was just going to say... yeah, I think I really like it when stuff is more data driven because, yeah, it just makes it a lot easier for, like, third party things to, well, not third party, but, like, additional things to sort of modify.
Yeah.
To modify it, right? So yeah, it makes it, like, easier for data packs to add additional features to the game, right? And I think that's just really cool. And yeah, I think adding data driven stuff is really nice, especially when you make it in a way that's compatible with data packs adding stuff.
Yeah.
To the game.
And I'll just say as well, the, like, data driven approach that Mojang is taking, it doesn't just impact data pack developers. In fact, modders get a really good really good experience with it as well, because they can use these like data driven concepts and just really easily add the content that, like, they want in the game without having to, like, you can, a mod can add their own banner patterns now without actually having to code them in. Like, they can just add them into the data section of their mod. And, I mean...
Yeah, so before... I mean, I haven't done a lot of modding, but presumably before this, banner patterns would have to be... You have to write a piece of Java code, which is, like, register new banner pattern, and, like...
Yeah.
They were probably all hard-coded in somewhere, and then you got to, like, modify that code and everything, which is just not a great experience. Yeah, but now, as a modder, you can just... Yeah, you can just add it in using these JSON files.
Yeah.
Which is pretty cool.
Yeah. It's always nice to see Noyang supporting like community creations. And I know a lot of people I'm gonna go on a slight tangent again. Yeah. I know a lot of people in the community often bring up the fact, oh, you know, they're going to kill off Java Edition and they're just going to have Bedrock Edition and blah, blah, blah. And I always think, I'm like, why would Mojang be making these changes if they weren't planning to keep supporting this game?
Yeah, right? For sure.
I feel like Java Edition provides a very different experience than Bedrock Edition. And I feel like they're positioning Java Edition to be more of a, like, community creations platform, almost. I feel like Bedrock Edition, like, sure, it has the marketplace, but that's very much more, it's
very, like, commercialized, I feel like.
Yeah. Those are, like, they're, like, a little... studios and stuff making this content, right? And it's often themed around existing IP and all that, like, kind of stuff. Whereas I feel like Java Edition is very much more for, like, your YouTubers to make something, your data packers, modders, stuff like that. And I feel like that side is a big part of the community, and they, you know, they're not going to throw that part of the community away just to work on one game. And besides...
No, I think...
the game is incredibly popular. It's not like they're competing for resources. We can have two Minecrafts.
Yeah.
But yeah, tangent aside. you want to go?
Well, I was just going to say, like, that is really why I play Java Edition Minecraft and not Bedrock, because it's just, I think the community driven sort of creative experience is just much better in general on Java. A lot of it, I mean, like on Bedrock, if you want to get an add-on or something or a map, right, you basically have, you're gonna have to pay for it. Because the only real way to share stuff like that is through the marketplace. Unless you know various, like, technical things and stuff, right?
But
on Java Edition, there's so much free content out there, right? All of the most popular mods and data packs, they're all free. They're all publicly available.
And they're they're free not just to use, but they're free for you to go in there, have a look how they work, and learn to make it yourself. This is something I really love about the Minecraft Java community, is there's a real sense of, like, you know, sharing your work. If you've made something cool, you share how you did it with other people. It's like, it's a really great community. And it gives me, like, very much similar vibes to, like, the open source community. And there's overlap there. There's a lot of, Minecraft mods and stuff that are open source, but it's just really great.
Well,
I mean, data packs are pretty much you can't really hide the source code to a data pack because of it.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. Data packs are pretty much by nature open source, because they're just a zip file. So you got to download the data pack, or to look inside it, all you got to do is download the data pack and unzip it. and that gives you access to all of the code that goes into it. I mean, yeah, people have made tools to like obfuscate data packs, but I think that honestly, I think that sort of takes away from the point of it a little bit.
Yeah, definitely. I 100% would agree with that taking away from I feel like DataPack's greatest strength is its community, and not just DataPack's Minecraft Java Edition. Its greatest strength is its community, and really, I feel like these new updates, like 1.20.5, is really nurturing that community, which is really great to see.
Yeah. Okay, so I think we've talked enough. We beat around the bush. We've increased the length of this podcast episode enough, possibly too much. I think we can get on to the main
course,
the main feature of this update, right?
Yeah.
The as it were, beef and potatoes. I heard someone say that the other day. I don't remember who it was, but somebody said that.
I think I remember a hermit saying it. You could have heard.
Yeah.
Maybe. Yep. All right.
Anyway, the main feature of Minecraft 1.20.5 is components.
Yes. Ah, oh, components.
So, we can both explain what components are, but I'll just start off by explaining what NBT is. So in Minecraft, in Minecraft, everything has to be stored somehow, right? Your world needs to keep track of all of the blocks in it and all the entities and everything. And so, I guess it was Notch that came up with the NBT format, which is basically a way of storing data, and everything stores some data in Minecraft. So every entity has NBT data, every item has NBT data, every world is essentially stored as NBT data.
Yeah.
So the problem with NBT data, or one of the problems with it, is that it's kind of slow. And what I mean by that is that if you are using commands to edit NBT data, to read NBT data, those commands run quite slowly. They're pretty inefficient, which is bad, because often you do want to do a lot with NBT data in data packs and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, we do a bunch with NBT. For example, Code of Copper, the entire data pack pretty much is modifying...
It's basically just repeated NBT checks, and modifications,
So the quicker that is, the quicker Code of Copper can run. Basically, NBT performance speeds up a lot of things in the game. If it's performing poorly, it slows down a lot of things.
Yeah. And another thing with NBT is, if you've used data packs, right, you'll know that, well, if you've played around with them enough, then you'll know that entity data is sort of fixed, right? There are certain checks that go on in Minecraft that prevent you from setting arbitrary data as for entities. You can't just give the player... Okay, well, the player's a bad example because you can't modify player data at all. But, for example, a mob, right? You can't change the NBT data of a mob. You can't store arbitrary data on it.
Yeah, Minecraft validates NBT, usually.
Except for items. Which is an interesting thing, right? Items have always been sort of a wild west, if you will, in terms of NBT, where you can basically just put whatever data you want on them and Minecraft will sort of will allow it. One of the problems with that is that it makes it slow, because Minecraft can't guarantee that item data is going to be there, right? So it has to sort of validate it every single time.
Yeah. And
So that is why they introduced a new system called components. And do you want to explain what components are then?
yeah, all right. So components are okay. I'm gonna start. Think of your diamond sword, right? So a plain diamond sword, well, there's not much to it, right? You can attack things with it, that's all fine, right? And then one day you rename your diamond sword, right? So in 1.20.4 and below, when you rename a diamond sword, inside of the tag NBT, there was a display NBT, and then inside the display, there was a name field, right? Nested quite in. And when you changed the name of the sword, it would put it there. So this is like in an anvil, or a data packs could also put can also change them as well with like the give command, item modify, etc. And then let's say you then take your sword and you got a mending book from a villager. So you apply the mending book, and so inside the tag NBT, once again, there's now an enchantments NBT, and so then the sword inside its enchantments NBT gets the mending put on it, right? Sorry, I'm just gonna have to run a little bit because I'm getting eaten alive out here down in these caves. So yeah.
Okay, so well, I can pick that up if you want.
Oh, no, I'm safe. Do you want to talk? Up to you.
Okay, well, okay, I was just gonna say, and then in addition to that, let's say you have a data pack which gives you like some sort of custom item, right? And you've got your custom diamond sword with some custom data, and that custom data is sort of sandwiched right alongside the enchantments data, right? You got, imagine you're You've sort of got a box, right? And the box contains another box which tells you about the enchantments, a separate box which tells you about the custom name, and then a different box which tells you about some of the custom MBT data that has been specified by the data pack creator. And now, one problem with that is that. Say that Minecraft wants to look for the box containing enchantments. Let's say when you've hit an entity, it needs to decide how much damage to do, check if it has sharpness, or see how much durability to remove from it, see if it has unbreaking, etc. Right? Now Minecraft has to also look at all of the boxes that you've added alongside it to just to add your custom data right to the sword.
And you could have added a lot in there.
Yeah.
I know for a fact, let's use Code of Copper as another example. When you break a golem in Code of Copper, it spawns in a spawn egg item. And inside that spawn egg item, it stores the entire program that was in that golem when you broke it. So that could be really long. It could be a lot of data in there. And so then Minecraft has to read all of that before it can pull out the important data that it needs.
So that is presumably that is why they added components. So the way the components work is there's basically a predetermined set of components which can be applied to items. And each one has a format. So Minecraft will validate this format and make sure that it is valid NBT. And so every bit of MBT data that was previously stored in a box in this main sort of section, right, where there could be any arbitrary data, is now sort of, you could imagine that each box has a label on it, and this label has been verified to contain the correct bit of data and not just some random data that the user has has added to the item. And this makes it much faster, and it also allows for some sort of cool things to add to it, right? So they've added, as well as adding components for all of the previous data that was stored in items, they've added a bunch of new components which allow you to further customize how items are used.
Yeah.
Right?
So across the board, because they've now made item data very consistent, what it means is that you can effectively... my guess, I haven't looked at the code, but my guess is that the component system is already being used, and basically for certain items, they just have default components that are just not stored.
Yeah, right? Yeah, that's exactly how it works.
Yeah, but because now we can override components on the item, we can change like fundamental things about how the item works that used to be hard-coded. Like, what type of blocks it can break efficiently. So before it used to be hard-coded that a pickaxe could only break stone efficiently now. But if you add the correct component now to, let's say, a stick, suddenly that stick can break stone like it was a pickaxe.
Yeah, and you don't even need to use the predetermined sets of like pickaxe blocks or whatever. You can define your own set of blocks. So, for example, there are certain blocks in the game which don't have a tool which mine them faster, right? Like glass, for example, or honeycomb blocks, which is a sort of weird one. But yeah, but now you can add your own custom tool into the game, and without adding any sort of weird workaround logic with commands that give you haste or whatever when you're looking at a certain block with a certain thing in your hand, you can just give yourself an item with a certain component and
you're off to the races.
And yeah, that just works.
Yeah.
So again, this is like Mojang adding this sort of ability to do a lot of stuff which was previously presumably hard-coded with a sort of data-driven approach, which is really cool.
Yeah. And just like the potential that opens up is like there's so much there. Like this is stuff that people have been asking about for years to be able to do.
Yeah.
Suddenly, just in this one update, we now have methods of accomplishing this. Which is just really, really good to see.
So I'm just going to quickly go over a list of... I don't have a list here because I basically... There's a list of all the components, but most of them are sort of quite boring, which are just like the pages of a book or, you know...
Replacements stuff like for that, stuff we already had.
Yeah, so I'm just going to, from... sort of memory, talk about a couple of new components which allow you to sort of customize your items in a better way. So there is max stack size, so you can now any item specify, unfortunately only up to 99, but you can specify how big a stack that item can
be. It is strange it's only 99 because it's stored as an integer. Which could theoretically mean that it could go...
Why it's only 99. It's sort of weird that they made it like that. But anyway, you can specify how much durability an item has. You can create... Before, you had to do some like weird workarounds where you would like use the durability and take like 50% of the durability off. If you wanted like a, I don't know, it was really weird. But now you can just do it using the new component. You can specify the tool as we already talked about. So that's basically how fast it breaks stuff and which blocks it breaks, more efficiently than normal. You can. Oh, food. The food
Yeah.
component's a massive one.
And I've already done something with that one as well.
Yeah, I'm in the process of making a data pack using this. And yeah, so you can make custom food now. You can make any item essentially edible, and you can specify how much hunger and how much saturation is going to give you, which is something which wasn't really possible before. You could sort of do a hacky workaround that sort of worked, but not really.
And
And yeah, that just gives you a huge amount of customizability.
I'm just going to quickly interject in there again, sorry. The other thing that the custom food allows is that you can specify how long it
Oh,
takes
yeah.
to eat, which now means that you can set right-click detection using the food eaten or whatever it's called advancement. You can now do arbitrary right-click detection with any item.
For any item, yeah, that's super cool.
And
I haven't looked into that, but I know it's possible, yeah.
if you set the time it takes to eat to a really long number, like a really big number, like a million, the eating animation doesn't even play.
Yeah, and the sound doesn't either.
Yeah, which means that it's like a the old carrot on a stick, or what's the other one? Warped fungus on a
Warp
stick
fungus on
method.
stick, yeah.
But it actually updates a lot faster. It updates, I believe, every tick. So
Yep.
if you hold it down, it fires every tick, which is
Yeah,
really cool.
and also you can apply it to arbitrary items now, which means that you can have like, because before you would have to have a carrot on a stick or a warp fungus on a stick to do right click detection, but now you can have it on a sword, for example.
Yeah, which is
Yeah, which is pretty
awesome.
cool. And also, if you've been watching any Minecraft memes recently, you might know that there's a trend where somebody will do something, like for example, jump from a long distance, and then suddenly with a water bucket in their hand, and then suddenly start eating the water bucket. And people find that hilarious for whatever reason. But now that's possible in the vanilla game, without any mods or anything. You can just make water buckets edible and actually make that meme in the actual game.
Yeah, super cool. I'm just gonna say once again for the people that are audio only, I have just found a structure that is part of our data pack code of copper, which we actually have in this world. So
Oh, yeah.
I'm quickly raiding it for some food, and I found an enchanted golden apple, which is
Oh,
pretty
yeah,
good.
nice. Definitely not overpowered loot table at all.
No, I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay, let me say what I hope comes after this update. I was hoping that this would be a thing in this update itself, but it's probably quite a big change, and I guess it will probably be after 1.21 that they add this. But with all these components, you can sort of make custom items, right? You can essentially add enough new changes to the item that it basically becomes unrecognizable as the base item, right? You can have a stick that behaves like a pickaxe, and it has a custom name and a custom texture, and all sorts of things, right?
Yeah.
As you make it only stack to one, right? What I think is going to be really cool if they add it, and I really hope that they do, I think this is probably where this is going, but I can't say for sure, is allowing using JSON configuration files in a data pack to specify custom items. So a custom item would basically be, all it would be is it would just be a set of default component values that it has. So all you'd do is you'd specify the stack size, you would specify the tool if it had one, the food, all of that, and then what you can do is you can just do like a slash give, and then with the namespace and the item name, and you get the item with all the default values.
Yeah, I think that's definitely could be coming up, and that will be really cool. That has honestly been one of the longest requested features for data packs, is being able to register
Yeah.
custom items.
Which is something which is sort of similar to how they already do it in mods, but yeah, I think it would be super cool. Especially, I think it would be fairly easy to implement now. I mean, I
Yeah,
don't
well,
know,
like
I'm not a Minecraft developer, but I think using the component system,
the
you could
groundwork
basically
is
just
there.
create, yeah, you could basically just create custom items, which just all you got to do is specify the default component values, and that's it, really.
Yeah. Oh, I so hope that that comes, because like that's one of honestly one of the biggest pain points of data packs for many years, and one of the biggest distinguishers from like a now not obviously not the only distinguisher, but one of the biggest from a mod is, yeah, data packs have to use vanilla items and
Yeah.
often do so in a fairly hacky way,
Yeah.
which leaves
Because,
them feeling unpolished.
yeah, up until, I mean, as I say, this is somewhat changed now because you can pretty much with the new components make items virtually unrecognizable. You can completely change their behavior essentially. But before now, you would always sort of be able to see the underlying item, right? It would still have the default behavior, and you'd sort of have to use commands to essentially patch in the new behavior you wanted, which yeah was really hacky and not a great way to do it really. But the biggest one of the biggest things which still allows you to recognize the base item in a custom item now is crafting recipes, because items with custom components can still be used in crafting recipes
As that
as if
item.
they were the base item. So one thing to note if you're making custom items is if you don't want them to be used in crafting recipes, you use something like a command block, because command blocks aren't in any crafting recipes, and they have no behavior in survival, right?
Or debug stick is actually another great one to
Oh
use.
yeah.
Because debug sticks don't work unless you're in creative. And they also just look like a stick in fullback. So that's also a pretty good one to use.
But yeah, if you use like a regular stick, then you can use your custom item to craft a diamond pickaxe, for example, because Minecraft doesn't check components in crafting recipes, which is probably a good way to segue into the next feature, which comes sort of in addition to the components, which is again a huge feature that's been requested for a very long time in data packs. The ability to specify NBT or now components in the result of crafting recipes.
We can
You want to tell
now,
us about that?
we can now use our custom items as ingredients in a crafting recipe.
No, unfortunately not.
No? Oh
You
no.
still can't
Sorry, no.
do.
I'm saying my
Yeah.
mouth is going the wrong place. As the result of a crafting recipe.
Yeah.
So, what it now means is that you can. Before, data packs always had this issue where it was always hard to get your items to the player. You had to implement some method. Now, some people implemented custom crafters and they were always very buggy, very hacky. I mean, don't get me wrong, people did some incredible work with custom crafting, but it never really lives up to the vanilla crafting experience. And other
Yeah.
methods was like, there was a real trend of floor crafting. Like back in my day.
I never really liked that.
There's obviously the other trick was just have it generate in a structure somewhere and just have it one of those items that you can only find in chests.
Yeah, or you can use loot tables.
Yeah, loot tables, or one of probably the most classic one is the knowledge book. The amount of data packs you'll find that just everything gives you a green book in return. All the crafting recipes, yeah, there's a lot.
Yeah.
But now,
because
your custom item can come out in a crafting recipe, and if you've got the resource pack on, it will look like your item in the slot.
Yeah, which is something which was never possible before.
It's so cool.
Yeah, because basically, yeah, before this update, before 1.20.5, it was only possible to output vanilla items with no extra custom data. So you could output a diamond sword fine in your custom recipes, but you couldn't output a diamond sword with custom model data and, you know, custom texture and everything, right? It would just look like a regular diamond sword, and you'd have to do some detection. Well, you couldn't really do it like that. You'd have to use a knowledge book to be able to detect. You'd have to use a knowledge book to be able to detect
what they crafted.
Yeah, what they crafted, and then give it to the player.
Yeah.
Sorry, my words weren't coming out very well there because I was trying to focus in Minecraft.
I'm just going to quickly ask, what are the coordinates for home base? Sorry.
Oh, 250, -500.
250, okay, I'm going the completely wrong direction, thank you.
Okay, so now you can specify arbitrary components as the output, and basically behaves like you would hope or you would expect, right? You should just be able to have it essentially be the same as a give command, right? You can just give any arbitrary data in the result.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, however, they still haven't added the ability to check for component data in as the items of the recipe, right? You still you still can't do any checks for what the data of items are. So in which case, so basically, if you have a custom item, you can't really use it as one of the ingredients in the recipe. And also, if you have a custom item, it will be treated as just like a vanilla ingredient in any recipe.
Yeah.
Which is one major advantage, I would say, to adding. That would be one of the major advantages to adding custom items, right? Because then you could just say the input is just this item, right? Whatever I've called it, and it doesn't need to do a component check. It just does an ID check, and then you can specify your custom ID for items, and that's all good. The other nice thing about it is, let's say you want to have multiple ways of obtaining your custom item, right? You want to have a crafting recipe and maybe a mob drop and maybe some other way of obtaining it, right? You have to copy and paste your components data in all of those places and make sure it's the same, otherwise you'll have two different items, right, which come out from different places. So if you added a custom item, so you can just configure it with JSON, all you got to do is reference that one item, and then it's the same everywhere.
Yeah.
That would
be huge.
Yeah.
That's the feature we're all hoping for. I'll just also say the fact that you can't use components as the inputs for crafting recipes, only on the outputs. It's a classic case of a Mojang half-finished feature.
Yeah.
It's a trend that we notice where something's implemented but just 80% of the way there. And I would not be surprised if either this custom item system comes at some point, or we get that feature finished and able to use components as the input. But yeah, I'm just looking at the time.
I think that's probably a good place to stop, honestly. I think we've covered most of the features.
Yeah.
I'm pretty happy with that, honestly. One final thing I will say is that the downside to these changes, these massive sort of completely, you know, massive overhauls of how stuff works, is it does mean that it breaks compatibility with most existing data packs.
Yeah.
You do have to, basically any previous data pack that does anything at all with items is going to have to be updated to the new format. But I think it's one of those cases of better sooner rather than later, because now that it's done, we can take advantage of all these new features, and Mojen can add a bunch of cool new things that we can do with these new features in the future, and sort of allow us to do more, you know, rather than, you know, waiting and putting it off. And then, you know, let's say further down the line, and there are so many data packs out there, right? And then now they make the change, and then every single previous data pack just breaks, right?
Yeah.
So I think it's better that they did it how they did it.
Yeah, and sometimes you just have to break things to progress, which is just unfortunate reality. We've had it times in Minecraft, like 1.13 broke everything. there are still projects that never move past 1.13. Obviously, you know, 1.it's important. Change is important, and change is often good, but also can be painful sometimes.
Yeah, I think it's just one of those cases of, you know, it's more work now.
Yeah, it's more work now.
But it enables us to do stuff more later, to do more stuff later.
Yeah.
I think is good.
It really seems like they're setting up a good, solid foundation to build data packs on. And I'm feeling very hopeful about the future of data packing and Minecraft as a whole. Well, Minecraft Java Edition. And
yeah, we don't talk about Bedrock.
Yeah, and on that note, I think we can wrap it up here.
So thank you so much for watching if you made it all the way to the end. Hopefully you enjoyed it and learned something about Minecraft or data packs or both.